Before we get going this morning, let me tell you about the Oxford Exxon Blue Sky there on Highway 6 West. Go ahead and get a lunch special, $4.99, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink, and with baseball starting Friday, home basketball on Saturday as well, get the Stadium Cup. You know, you can refill it at any Blue Sky in Mississippi for only 49 cents, so great value there to quench your thirst with the Oxford Exxon and Blue Sky and pick up ribs at night, wet or dry, ready to go, waiting on you, or you can call ahead and have them wrapped up and ready there at the Oxford Exxon. And coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900, Highway 25 South there in Amory. Remember to give Corey a call, 15 minutes within business hours. You're going to get a quote, you're going to like that quote, and you're probably going to end up making a deal. At the end of that deal, you tell them about the podcast, you save another $500 there with Clark Ford. Now onto the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in. But why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barr, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. A lot to get to. We've got basketball tonight. Ole Miss and Auburn from Auburn Arena. Yesterday, Ole Miss baseball media day leading into Friday where they face off against the Wright State Raiders. 4 o'clock first pitch for that one. 12 o'clock on Saturday. 12 o'clock on Sunday as well. Got a little overlap on that Saturday game, I believe. I think the basketball game at home is at 2:30. So a little bit of everything today. Had A Bo Bounds Ross Bjork tweet last night. Might get to that today as well. Also got a lot of content up at rebelgrove.com. I've got a story on Zach Phillips, the Saturday starter at Ole Miss, a quick look at Wright State, and Neil with a couple good content items this morning. A feature on Dominic Olenicek. His mother was a professional basketball player. He's attempting to follow in her footsteps. And the weekly mailbag presented by the Jackson Weston. So a lot of stuff going on. You had a pretty busy Tuesday, Mr. McCready.
I did. I also have a basketball notebook that's up as well, put up around, I don't know, 2-something yesterday afternoon. So if you're looking for some basketball material to read before tonight's game, there's a good bit there, enough to entertain you for a few minutes. So, yeah, it was a pretty busy, I think we both had pretty busy Tuesdays. By the time you podcasted and then you had media day stuff, I had a dental trip and just a checkup, no big deal. And then, I wrote all afternoon and you wrote all afternoon. And so, I finished the Olenicek story right around the time that Kentucky and LSU finished up last night. And that was a hell of a game. Hell of a game.
Yeah. I actually kind of took an afternoon off. I got done with media day and between the trip to Cleveland the day before and the weekend of just looking at that dang story over and over again, I was kind of wiped. I said, I'm not going to do anything for a few hours. So I actually got up this morning and kind of got back at it a little bit. I media day is that interesting thing where they give you so much access for baseball that other than Mike's kind of opening statement where he tells you who's going to play, because that's kind of relevant. Otherwise, there's not a lot there for the local beat writers. So it was more of a, hey, let me grab some quotes that I might use later. But you're probably not looking for main stories at media day a couple days before the season begins.
No, I wouldn't think. There's also a whole lot of media going to that to be seen, if we're just being perfectly honest.
Yeah, I was out of there pretty quick, about 45 minutes yesterday, in and out and done. Little update there. So I guess we'll start there. There's a lot of places we could start with baseball. He did announce the rotation. I'm not going to say I completely predicted it because we kind of had it down to 4. I wasn't sure what he was going to do on Saturday, but what he's doing makes a lot of sense. He's going to go Will Etheridge on Friday. We all knew that. And then Zach Phillips on Saturday, as I mentioned, and then Gunnar Hoglund on Sunday. I looked this up yesterday. It took only about 25 minutes, actually. Hoglund is only the second true freshman to ever start on the opening weekend of the year under Mike Bianco in his 19 years. The other one was Mark Holloman in 2003. Cody Satterwhite would have been in 06. However, a rainout shortened that series to 2 games instead of 3. He did start the next Sunday in the first Sunday game of the season, but nonetheless, pretty rarefied air there for Hoglund. That was expected. He was excellent except for this past Saturday, but Mike didn't hold the one outing against him, and he's in the rotation for Sunday. With Phillips, it was down to Phillips or Roth, and It's a little bit of two things. Phillips was great the last two weekends. He finished up last weekend, five scoreless innings. I think he had a whip under one. He had a BAA under two for all the spring innings. I think 10 innings over the course of three starts in the spring leading up to the season. And what else it does is, in case Ole Miss has bullpen problems, Houston Roth is a very viable candidate to kind of fix those bullpen problems, to be a late-inning guy, he has the mentality to go into games late in games. So I think Mike thought, well, if it's exactly even, let's go ahead and put this guy in the starting rotation, because in case we got to move something later, it's much easier to move a midweek guy, premium bullpen arm, deeper into the bullpen than it is to start flipping through all the rotation. Because even mentally, you kind of got to, you know, baseball coaches are psychiatrists as much as everything else. It's probably better to do the least amount of tinkering when you anticipate at least a problem being possible down the road.
How happy is Houston Roth with this situation? I have to think that he went into this hoping to be a weekend starter.
He's competitive. I'm sure probably not overly thrilled. Now he's going to go. He's going to do his job. He's probably going to beat Arkansas State on Tuesday, and he's going to be waiting on the first opportunity to jump back in the rotation. Ole Miss, Mike Bianco mentioned yesterday that obviously it's just the first weekend. Things are going to change. I think Mike's only had one or two seasons out of his 18 so far where the rotation stayed 1-2-3 throughout the season. So, you know, it's a little bit of a mental test for Houston. There's no doubt. I mean, he lost a competition in a way here. But I do think there was some extenuating circumstances. I think it was more of a big picture move as well as just kind of that head-to-head deal. And, you know, look, if you told me to say – you know, yes or no, gun to my head, Houston Roth's going to start SEC games this year? Yes, he is. I highly doubt the rotation stays 1-2-3 throughout the year. But nonetheless, it is the news right now. Greg Kessinger, we don't know about that ankle for Friday. Mike said if he's able to go, obviously he'll go at shortstop, and Anthony Servideo will go at second base. If he can't go, Servideo will play short, Jacob Adams will play second. And because of the depth there and the ability to just kind of plug in place, I'm leaning toward he doesn't play opening day, but it's just a thought. I don't know. Mike didn't really give it either way. I asked Gray afterward how his foot was feeling, and he said he took BP. He's been moving around some on it, but he said that the only straight-ahead running he's done to this point was in the weight room. They've got like a little 30, 40-yard turf thing in their weight room, and he said he's kind of run on that. But as of 2:30 yesterday, he had not run in a straight line outside, and being that the game's in 3 days, made me think that maybe he's a little behind schedule, but we'll see what happens on Friday afternoon.
Just to backtrack, did you just guarantee a win over Arkansas State? Are you on the record as guaranteeing that victory?
Well, you know, Arkansas State used to be a thorn in their side a little bit in the midweek. But, yeah, I feel good with Houston Roth on the mound that if you were in Vegas, the money line would be on the Rebels on Tuesday against Arkansas State.
So yes, no question. Did you just guarantee a win over Arkansas State?
Well, they only lost one midweek game the whole year last year. So, sure, yeah, they're going to beat Arkansas State on Tuesday. You heard it here first. Yes,
there it is, the guarantee. That'll be an interesting Twitch cast if you miss that one. Be a lot of fingers pointed at you.
Yeah, you were kind of feeling yourself in that mailbag this morning. Got after me a little bit on the Twitcher.
I'm having fun with you on the Twitch thing.
I don't know. Is that what it's mean? Are you twitching?
I don't,
you know, obviously Twitter and we're tweeting. What are we doing on Twitch?
My guess would be you're twitching.
You think so?
That has a certain connotation to it.
I mean, you're Googling, you're Facebooking.
Yeah, you know, you're tweeting.
Instagramming.
You're twitching.
Okay.
I mean, until someone comes up with a better alternative, and I'm open to that, it's twitching.
I don't know which day it will be, either tomorrow or Friday. We'll have Aaron Fitt on the podcast from D1 Baseball to talk a little SEC, Ole Miss going into the season. I confirmed that he would be available at some point in the next 2 days yesterday afternoon, but we have not locked down an exact time to that yet. But either way, you'll get Aaron at some point before the week's done. I'm not going to spend time on Wright State, so I'm going to hit it right now and be done with it because I wrote it this morning. You can read about it on the site at rebelgrove.com. They were good last year. They were 39-17, 22-6 in their league, the Horizon League. And what's good for Ole Miss is that Wright State's schedule is better this year than last year, and they had a 69 RPI. If you gave Ole Miss a 69 RPI for Wright State right now, they would take that in a heartbeat. So that is that's kind of good news for the Rebels. They've got all their offense back from a team that averaged almost 8 runs a game last year, or maybe more than 8 runs a game last year, which was, I think, seventh or eighth nationally. They've got those dudes back, but their pitching staff, a big overhaul, and that's probably not good against an Ole Miss lineup that has everyone back as well. Wright State throwing a kid on Friday night who Baseball America, or D1 Baseball, sorry, it was D1 Baseball, said that he's up to 95. He really progressed in the offseason, all this stuff. But when I pulled up his numbers last year, 7.34 ERA, 1.76 whip, 333 batting average against. That potentially spells a lot of trouble on Friday for the Raiders.
I would think, and look, let's get that. I established this in the mailbag. I'm going to establish it on the podcast too.
All right.
I'm a good enough journalist that I can cover a baseball series, a baseball week. If, God forbid, something happened and I had to cover a month of Ole Miss baseball, I'm good enough to do it. As of this moment, I don't have to do it. I don't see this team. I haven't seen them yet. When they play on television, I'll watch some of it, that kind of thing. I don't go to many games because I'd be going by myself. So I don't really go to any games. So I'm not going to pretend to be the baseball expert here. I will say that I saw enough of these kids late last season, and I know that most of them are back. It is my opinion, based on nothing but that, which is an incredibly small sample size, that average to below average pitchers are going to get bombed by these guys.
That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
I mean, that's my opinion, that this is a really good...
I mean, and frankly, if you're going to do the matchup thing, this is... I mean, on paper, given what we know, obviously, who knows? I mean, I guess you get to twirl eight scoreless on Friday. But given what we know, it's the worst matchup for an opposing pitcher because not only does Ole Miss hit bad pitching, they hit bad hard pitching. It's not like he's going to float a bunch of curveballs in there. He's going to throw into the low 90s and just throw it in the middle of the plate.
Yeah,
my guess is it's flat.
Yeah, if you're going to be an average pitcher against a team like that, you want to be an average off-speed junk baller. Where maybe you trick them for a time through the lineup. Yeah. If you're just throwing stuff hard, but you're not painting corners and going working up and down and keeping them off balance, if you're just throwing it, well, these guys hit that stuff.
Yeah,
in fact, they're
going to catch up to it. That's not a problem.
Right.
So, anyway, that's really not much more news. Left to right, they're going to go with Dillard, Olenek, and then Tim Elko in right field. That was kind of expected as well. Carl Gindel is going to play a lot. They're going to do some other things there. And then Chase Cockrell at DH, the infield corners, Keenan and Zabowski, as you know by now, and then Cooper Johnson behind the plate. So we'll see. They play Wright State 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Let's kind of jump around a little bit. You said we'd hit this. I teased it in the opening. It kind of perked me up a little last night because I thought, well, we'll have to look into this a little bit because I was not paying attention. Somebody sent me a picture yesterday afternoon of Bo Bounds, ESPN Radio out of Jackson, on the Paul Feinbaum show just and said it was some joke about Feinbaum or something. So, but that's the first time I saw it. And then later in the day, I saw the quote that has everyone fired up. Says, quote here from Bounds, "I can gauge the temperature of the fan base," talking about Ole Miss. And quote, "I don't think Ole Miss fans are excited to renew the season tickets. They're beat down, and it's just one more thing after another. I did not watch the segment. I know nothing about that quote. However, I did talk to a couple people yesterday who had seen the segment that said, look, Bounds was typical Bounds, but Feinbaum certainly picked the most inflammatory way to context that out to make it a tweet.
Yeah, look, I don't listen to Paul's show. Number of reasons. The main one is I don't find it entertaining. Now, I know a lot of people do. He's made a fortune. He's made it big. I'm not jealous of that. I acknowledge that. I like Paul or liked Paul personally. We worked at two newspapers together. I used to go on his show all the time when I covered Auburn for the Birmingham Post-Herald and then the Mobile Register. I've worked with Paul on stories, et cetera. I like Paul fine. I didn't like the way Paul treated me when I left Alabama. And so I just, I didn't like it at all. I thought it was unprofessional. I thought it was uncalled for and he and I really haven't spoken since. And, years ago, they invited me on the show. I declined. It's the only reason I said that yesterday is because someone included me in it. Why don't they get journalists like, and they listed you and me and a couple others. And I just said, well, in fairness, they have invited me. I declined and I would decline again. I didn't see it. I don't listen to it. I don't know. I don't really know the context of it. I found it amusing. And it's the reason I don't want to go on Paul's show. Among other reasons, the biggest of which is that he's always looking for the inflammatory thing to hype. And I don't know what Bo said, what Bo didn't say. I haven't spoken to Bo Bounds in years. I don't know. It's funny to me that I'll give Paul credit for this. He's working for the SEC network. He and Mike Slive were really tight. Mike Slive paved the way for Paul to become an ESPN voice the way that he has. And yet Paul doesn't shy away from looking for controversial takes. I don't believe what Bo said, at least the quote that is on Twitter, on the Twitter machine. I don't believe that quote to be all that accurate, really. I mean, there's an argument from some people that, yeah, it is or whatever. I didn't sense, and look, you know far more Ole Miss people than I do. It's not even close. If anybody's going to be the gauge of Ole Miss people, you would be better at it than me, and I would be better at it than Bo Bounds. I didn't sense a tremendous amount of angst about the vacated wins. In fact, I'll be honest, from the people that I talked to, if anything, it was kind of a joke. I didn't sense any angst.
It's several fold. It's threefold. One, most people knew this was coming. We've reported on it. Multiple media members have done a pretty good job of paneling out how this was going to work and that a lot of seasons were in danger because of certain things. That's number one. So it wasn't a surprise to a lot of people. Number two, look, over time, especially as this thing is finished, Hugh Freeze's Q rating, if you will, with Ole Miss fans has dwindled significantly. There was pleasure in his record getting knocked down as well when it was announced. I mean, I was in a room with Ole Miss people when it got announced. I saw it. And then three, they kept the Sugar Bowl trophy. And I get that a lot of people find that trivial, but that was a really big deal for the Ole Miss fan base. That was a really big bowl game for morale. That was kind of the culmination of that era, if you will, with that 2013 signing class. It's the one bowl, other than the playoff, obviously, that Ole Miss fans wanted to go to. They wanted to get back to New Orleans, and they did that. And that part of history didn't get erased as much as vacating a win can get erased. So I think those three things went together that took it from just anger and another thing, as Bo says, to, yeah, kind of a joke, kind of this dark humor, sort of this, okay, well, this is it, right? All right, let's move on. I saw the game happen. Who gives a crap? And that's kind of what I felt from the Ole Miss fan base for the most part.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got, too. I'll be honest with you, the only person who messaged me or contacted me angry or upset or whatever about vacated wins was Hugh Freeze. Honest truth, only one. Other people joked about it and all that stuff, you know, with the tweets of pictures of one of the games that has now been vacated saying, I saw it.
Yeah, of course.
Stuff like that. But I didn't take that as anger. I took that as humor. The only person that was upset that reached out to me was Hugh Freeze.
And I saw this morning going, well, you know, they found out, why not release it? No, Ole Miss did its job. It did not allow that to be released. I mean, if somebody found it, great. But they did not volunteer that information prior to signing day. Because here's what would happen if they had. You would have had to go back and convince kids again that it was part of the old thing. It was just another part of the thing. And it wasn't something new. Because other schools were going to hit you on it. As soon as that vacated win thing comes out on January 25th, every one of the kids you're competing against or every school you're competing against for kids was going to say, look, another NCAA thing, vacated wins. Look, you're going to win games. They're not even going to count. That's what they're going to do. That's what everybody does. But Ole Miss does other people too. That's what everybody does. So by avoiding that, keeping it through February, now it's out of the news cycle already, and it does not matter one iota to recruiting moving forward. So, no, Ole Miss did exactly what Ole Miss was supposed to do in that situation.
And it's important to note, for those of you that don't have high school kids at home, they're not exactly keeping up with the news. I mean, they're high school kids, I don't know if you remember being a high school kid. They're pretty self-obsessed. It's just part of that phase of life, I think. And they would be easily misled because they're not reading about this stuff on message boards. They're not keeping up with it. They're busy with their own lives. And when you're in high school, life's pretty busy. And you don't have a lot of time to parse through what's true and what's not. And so when people are telling you, oh, see, look, here's the, and they can actually show it to them. Oh, it would have absolutely had an impact on recruiting. It absolutely would have. Give Ole Miss credit. I give them credit for this. And I'm in the media business where I'm always looking for information. They would have potentially gotten hurt by that getting out. And by holding on to it until after the signing period, that's a win for them.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I was surprised at how well it was taken overall. I mean, I understand some people are upset on the message boards and Twitter and different things, but on the whole, it was taken really well. I mean, I'll just give them a little insight here. When I found out about it, I was talking to Ross, I guess, right after the thing. He said, hey, you know, what do you think the reaction is going to be? And I said, well, frankly, I think it's going to be 60-40 negative was my guess. And then I kind of checked Twitter, checked the message board, checked the replies to the story I put up, and I kind of walked back over to him and I said, "Nah, it's more positive than that. It's really not bad at all for you guys. It's fine. It's a joke, you know." And I said, "Well, it's, you know, everybody's kind of taking some delight in Freeze. They're doing the Sugar Bowl trophy, and they're kind of moving on. Whatever. I think you're cool." So
yeah, I think you nailed it a minute ago. I think it's taken a few years, but I think Freeze's Q rating has finally dropped.
Yeah,
I think it took a while, and I think Luke's has gone up. I said this the other day. I wrote it. I thought Luke's press conference after the second signing period was the first time that I really sensed that he felt truly comfortable, not forced comfortable. And that's not a knock on him. It's that deal where I think there's finally a sense among him and maybe among the program that the program has turned the page. I mean, you got to remember, this guy takes over in what, July of 17? He's got days before camp starts. The kids are basically already there. You've got all this stuff. Everybody's recruiting his kids. I've told you this. I don't know that I've ever reported this or anything because I didn't want to screw with the kid. But I'll tell you, I remember calling you in August of 17. I'd finished a practice and I'd gone back out into the parking lot to get into my car, and Trey Nixon was out there and he was on the phone, and there was no doubt that he was talking to another college football program. Absolutely zero doubt. And I remember telling you, man, if and nothing against Trey Nixon, cause he's a nice kid and a good player, and I wish him nothing but the best at UCF. But if they were recruiting Trey Nixon, they were recruiting everybody. Everybody. I mean, if they're recruiting Trey Nixon, can you imagine how many calls DK Metcalf or AJ Brown or DeMarcus Lodge were getting?
Not to mention getting some calls within its own program to go elsewhere.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, there are people inside the program recruiting people, you know, stuff. It just, my point is not to rehash that. It's to say Matt Luke walked into that deal. You're just putting out fires, man. I mean, you're not building foundation when every single minute you're breaking out the hose. I mean, every single minute you are just trying to mitigate damage. And that continued. I mean, that never really stopped. It's just now stopped.
Yeah.
Where the fire's been put out, you've sort of cleaned it out, and now, you know, they've given you the go ahead to rebuild. And I think you sensed that. I think he senses that, and I think it was the first time that I really sensed that there was a kind of an optimism and a comfort level that wasn't, and I'm I, I don't know how to say this without it sounding like an insult. And I don't in any way mean this as an insult, because you've listened to me enough to know that if I want to insult somebody, I'll just do it. It was the first time that it didn't feel a little forced. And I don't mean forced in a bad way. I just mean where you're, okay, I've got to really make sure I come across as positive here. I've got to make sure I come. I think now it was just kind of a natural thing. And I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive.
Yeah. We'll continue that conversation in 1 second. Tell you about Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com. Head to the website. Hope you took advantage of it for Valentine's. If you didn't, we've got graduation, Mother's Day, just any special occasion for that special someone in your life. They've got great turnaround times, frequently asked questions, and even show you what other people have purchased to give you ideas. You put your special message on that piece of jewelry, plenty of bracelets, pendants, even everything you could hope for. Lockets there with Scripted Jewelry. So head to the website, check it out, and when you're checking out, use Rebels10, R-E-B-E-L-S-1-0, for 10% off with ScriptedJewelry.com.
Guests join us all the time on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law, specialize in personal injury law, real estate law. Theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm. That's who will handle your case. Not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. When you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone on the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. The Ole Miss football season right around the corner. You want to make your hotel reservations now. A great place to stay would be Home 2 Suites in Oxford. It's on South Lamar, just off the Old Taylor Road exit. Be a great place to make as your home base for the Ole Miss football season. You give them a call and go ahead and set that up. And while you're at it, you can make reservations for double-decker weekend, some of the baseball weekends. They're getting full, so you want to make sure that you get your spot as we hit the spring. Grove Bowl weekend and double decker and all the baseball weekends and all of that. Home 2 Suites, Oxford. We're also brought to you by Dead Soxy. Go to deadsoxy.com, enter the code Rebel Grove at checkout. You'll get 30% off all orders. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's a fantastic product. It's made of bamboo. It stays up, it stays soft, it stays cool. You'll absolutely love it. They've got a little bit left of the Mississippi line. So go on, check that out. DeadSoxy.com. Enter the promo code RebelGrove at checkout. 30% off all orders. Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Maintaining an appropriate retirement plan for your company often seems like a daunting task, especially when you consider everything else that goes into running a successful business. The Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services provides plan sponsors with the expertise and consultation that they need to administer a retirement plan that inspires employees to reach their retirement goals. Pinnacle Trust retirement plan advisory teams specialize in a variety of different types of plans, including 401k plans and 403b plans. They can help sponsors benchmark their current 401k plan, consult on current plan designs, provide ongoing plan and investment fund reviews, manage employee communication and investment education, and conduct a plan sponsor fiduciary analysis. So call Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team today. They can conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast, and you'll receive 10% off your first year's fees.
Podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Seto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing in Oxford and the float down option. You know you can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com. The other part of that, I kind of buried the lead. So 11 hours ago, as I pull up the Twitter right now, Ross Bjork quote tweets that Paul Feinbaum tweet regarding Bo Bounds, a lot of words there, and says, biased and inaccurate take by a rival fan.
Yeah, kind of fighting back a little.
Yeah, you know, it's that deal where so much of fighting back or marketing or brand awareness or whatever, it's kind of picking the right spots, if you will. And I didn't have a problem with this spot. You know, took the shot at the Oxford Eagle, and I thought it was kind of just hitting a corpse a little bit. But with this, I'm going to get in trouble for that. So with this, yeah, sure, look, it is going to give Bo content this morning. Yeah, if he's smart, of course. I get that. But at the same time, there's been a narrative from that side for so long that I don't mind that shot back across the bow whatsoever. I think that one should be appreciated because everybody talks about, hey, defend us publicly. Well, he just did and probably picked a very correct avenue to do it.
Yeah. They appear. I'm looking for the context of it. I think I just found it about an hour ago. They're really fighting back about 50,000 watt signal covers about a 50-mile radius of the tower location. If you'd like to provide an email address, they'd be happy to send you a coverage map, as well as on-air and streaming numbers. I want to fight back about who's bigger, them or this little potato log podcast that could. I'll take our chances.
Is that what's happening? Are we getting pulled into this? Is that what's happening?
I think we're getting pulled into it, which is fine. I mean, I don't mind a fight.
There's so much backstory here that the people publicly don't know.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those deals where
they're never going to know it, but it's not just surface level that everybody's seeing.
No, it's much, as it pertains to us, it's much deeper than that. My deal with Bounds, I'll be honest, the reason I stopped doing it, I did a weekly morning thing for him for a while.
See, that's what I was going to say a minute ago. The irony here is that you could set your watch by your Bounds appearance every week for a long time, even when we started doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would drive over to, because we taped at Jeffrey's condo, and I would drive over there and I'd sit in the parking lot and do it. And then I'd finish and I'd walk up and we'd start the podcast. It was like Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. I can't remember.
Yeah. Like 7:45 or something.
Yeah. And he would come to Oxford. I would got up early a couple of times and went over there and did part of the show with him. I mean, I tried to be amenable to him. And then when he put me in the same category with Steve Robertson, I told him that's not satisfactory. And you know it. I'm not going to be lumped into that group. If you're going to have him as your state guy and me as your, quote, Ole Miss guy, I'm not going to do it. I'm not willing to do that to my career. I'm absolutely not willing to do that. And I told him that. And they pushed back, and I just stopped doing it. And then, you know, they take little gratuitous shots at you. And I always found amusing, I've gone out of my way to accommodate you for no compensation, and then you take shots at me. Okay, cool, done. I mean, you know, hook them, as they say. You know what I mean? I mean, screw it. I mean, it's like, that's like the stuff with Paul. I mean, I would go, when I was in Birmingham, I'd go to his studio and I'd do the show and stuff. I mean, I've done, and then, you know, when I left for here, and Paul knew what happened to me in Mobile, and he knew, you know, that this was a move at the time in 2008 that I was incredibly anxious about, nervous about, worried about, panicked over, whatever term you want to use, it applied, I promise you. You know, and I remember it was like in May or June of that. I think it was May, because it might have even been April, because Laura and the kids weren't here yet. And my phone blew up with Paul's talking about you on his show, and it was really negative. And it was like, man, why would you do that to me today? Of all the people you could pick on, you're picking on me today?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, it was before I knew you. Yeah. I mean, I had just gotten here. I mean, you know, and for context, I mean, I was living at my parents' house. We hadn't sold the home in Spanish Fort. And
yeah, because you didn't sell the house till regional weekend. First week of June.
Labor Day. I mean, not Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the day that Miami eliminated Ole Miss and Coral Gables was the day that we got an offer on the house.
Yeah.
So it was a good month before that. And honestly, it was a time when I had just gotten another job offer in traditional media that included a spot on a radio show. Oh, I actually included a radio show. And I was seriously contemplating taking it. I was seriously contemplating going back to Mobile and maybe begging for my job back. I mean, man, there was a lot going on, and he took that shot, and it just did not – I mean, at the risk of sounding like a big baby, it kind of hurt my feelings at the time, and I didn't appreciate it at all. And you know, so years later, they reached out, hey, would you like to come on the show? And I said no. And the guy was almost kind of offended. And I did it in a self-deprecating sort of way. I said, you know, I don't really think I could add anything to your program. I think you could find somebody far more talented than me to talk about Ole Miss. And I said those kind of things. And instead of just simply going, okay, it was, well, that's the weirdest rejection I've ever gotten. And it was like, well, screw you, man. I mean, I was his producer. I mean, I don't care.
One of those weird things where I would assume for most writers, especially in the South, it's probably almost a career milestone to get on the show for them, so they never see anything negative from anybody.
Yeah, it could very well be. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, when I was in Mobile, even when I was competing with Paul, I would do his show. And, you know, because I knew the reach that it had, and I knew for my newspaper that I needed to go on, that my newspaper would not be happy if they found out I had been invited on Paul's show and turned it down. And I knew that Paul would ask controversial stuff and try to get you to say controversial things, sometimes controversial things that your newspaper would come back later and say, why did you say that? I mean, you know, it wasn't always rainbows and unicorns when you did his show. And I covered Auburn, man. I mean, I covered a program that was always on the cusp, you know what I mean? And so there was always stuff going on. I don't know if you've noticed, but Auburn has a penchant for drama. And I covered them for 6 years, Chase. There was some drama. And so it was kind of one of those deals where, it's a really long story. I didn't want to do it now. And I haven't, I've passed Paul at media days and stuff. And, you know, he acts like he doesn't recognize me. And perhaps he doesn't. So, and that's okay. I've said hello, and he's kind of said, hey, back. And that was that. And so I have no interest in going on a show. And then as it pertains to Bounds, this is where Paul's got a problem. He can't put Bo Bounds on the show and act like Bo Bounds is representative of the media that covers Ole Miss. And I think Paul would prefer to always go with the Clarion Ledger guy, but the Clarion Ledger guy changes every 6 seconds. And so there's no consistency there. The Memphis paper doesn't cover Ole Miss. I guess he's got Parrish offered as a option. I guess he has you as an option. He could go to the Ole Miss Spirit, but if he goes to the Ole Miss Spirit, I think he knows he's going to get a lot of slant. And so I don't know what Paul does. I don't know how he wants to get that controversial objective take. I suspect that yesterday he wanted someone to say, yeah, it's basically meltdown over here over these vacated games, and people are pissed and people are ready to burn it down. And in fairness, there is some of that. I just don't think it's the majority opinion.
There is nothing the national writer likes more than the vacated win. That was the dangdest thing the other night, is the amount of report colon about vacated wins and all this. And I mean, I've never seen a group of people that love them some NCAA penalties that are meaningless more than the national sports writer.
Yeah, I've been almost kind of careful to not talk about it, because I'm like, maybe that is the majority opinion and I'm missing it. Maybe I'm so out of touch with the common man Ole Miss fan that I'm missing it. Maybe there is more angst than I think. And I've looked everywhere. I just don't see it. I see people, like we said, cracking jokes and ha-ha, whatever. But I don't get the anger from anybody. Now, maybe it would have been different if they had lost that Sugar Bowl and they had to pack up the trophy and send it home. And it probably would be different. But they didn't. And so, if anything, I hear – I mean, I'll tell you, the one thing I got yesterday from people was, God, it's going to be funny to see Liberty's media guide now. what will they do? Because they propped him up as this guy that won all these games in the SEC, and now he can't claim those wins.
They'll put those wins up with an asterisk on it.
That's what they should do.
Yeah.
It's what Ole Miss should do. Ole Miss should put those wins in the book and say, hey, here's a little asterisk in the finest print possible down at the bottom. You know, technically, these games were vacated.
You know, the Birmingham Bowl, I think, has some status envy, if you will. So what they did to solve that, kind of like the middle-aged guy with a convertible, is they have the largest trophy imaginable. That is like, it's like a cinder block. It is the heaviest thing in the world. Will the NCAA cover shipping on that thing to get it back wherever it's got to go?
I don't know.
Because that's going to be really, really a lot to ship that son of a gun back.
Is it bigger than the Magnolia Bowl trophy?
Oh, yeah. I think it would look down on the Magnolia Bowl trophy.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's so heavy. Yeah, the BBVA Compass Bowl is huge.
I don't know, man. Because, I mean, at some point, like, when you take that thing to the post office and they look at you like, dude, we're not sending that. I mean, I guess you got to get FedEx to come get it. And
yeah,
I mean,
almost like you were shipping a refrigerator or something.
You'd almost be better off just putting it in the back of a van and driving it over to Birmingham yourself, right?
Well, is it Birmingham or does the bowl get it back is my question. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I mean, I think you could call Pittsburgh and say, you guys want this thing? Now, as we talked about yesterday, I think they'd say no.
Yeah, it doesn't look, I just pulled it up, it doesn't look that imposing, but that son of a gun must be like full of steel or something, just inside, just rock.
It is the Steel City.
There you go. Yeah, it looks kind of unassuming, but it's huge. I mean, it's heavy, sorry, not huge, heavy.
Like so you
pulled it up, there's a picture of Ole Miss fans celebrating with it, and it's two dudes picking it up.
Well, it takes a lot of people to pick up that Magnolia Bowl trophy too. I just don't want you to lose a trophy obsession and become obsessed with the trophy that's gone instead of a trophy that
I don't need to cheat on the Magnolia Bowl, do I?
You don't, because one day she could come back to you.
Can we get another redesign of that thing?
Oh, I mean, those kids have graduated now. There's a whole new group of kids in shop class. I don't see why we can't give them a chance.
I mean, is the new one really any better than the old one? The first one was just as good, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was a little more plain.
Well, the Magnolia broke off.
And it did. It kept breaking off.
That was the problem.
But that was not the problem with the trophy. That was the problem with all the damn football players kept breaking off the thing. I mean, be a little more gentle. It's a flower, for God's sake.
Because the first one was not as woodshop-ish because it didn't have the words burned into it.
I'm going to be honest, now that I think about this, and I had not given this any thought whatsoever, thank God, I think the next time, if you want to treat this trophy the way that it deserves to be treated, when the game is over, they should give it the Super Bowl, the Lombardi Trophy treatment. Someone should come out with white gloves and carry that thing through a receiving line, allowing each person on the victorious team to reach out and touch it before ultimately handing it to the winning coach or the winning quarterback, whatnot, where he can lift it high into the air for all of the fans to regale. That is the treatment that trophy deserves.
I just Googled it, and I don't know why I had not had this ammunition before. This is from June 4, 2014. Five worst trophies in college football. It comes in at number 4.
There's three worse?
Yeah, sorry, the old Magnolia Bowl trophy, and I'll skip to the bottom. It says, when the original trophy was first created, it looked like it was born out of the late 2000s, political correctness. The telephone trophy and even the iron skillet have character to them. With the simple wood block and placement of the plated magnolia flower in the Magnolia Bowl trophy, it resembled a plaque you'd give to a principal retiring from school after 35 years, not to a team that just won a rivalry football game. And in addition to the trophy's looks, it had durability issues, too. You'd think a giant block of wood wouldn't be fragile, but after Ole Miss's upset of LSU in 13, the Magnolia fell off the base. Boring and injury-prone? Sounds like Sam Bowie. So
they could call it the Sam Bowie Trophy.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah, then they debuted the new one on April 5th, 2014. So
it has not been graded. What were the three trophies that were worse than that one?
I don't know. I have to look.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, if I stumble across them, great, but I'm not not killing my day on it. I don't know. That is a good point, though. Some of the other ones are terrible, but they at least sort of had character. Like, I hate the Cyhawk trophy, the Iowa State trophy.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that one gets on my nerves. But most of the Big Ten ones are kind of so dumb, they're okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, like Paul Bunyan's axe and stuff. It's awful, but it's kind of cool at the same time.
Hang on, is this the new one? Never mind. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting off into trophies. Maybe I was looking at an old Cyhawk trophy. Maybe the new one's not bad. Anyway. The name is terrible. Cyhawk, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
We got to go to Iowa sometime.
We really do. Well, we got to get that guy on. We keep getting his number, and we haven't called him.
Yeah, I need to call him. Because I think we're big in Iowa.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's at least like our probably like 28th most popular state.
Yeah, somewhere in there. It's not 50th.
No. We get more overseas than we do in a lot of the other states, like away from our footprint.
Yeah, we're global. That's before you start.
We don't just go 50 miles from base. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
Now that you're twitching, there's no telling how far we go.
That's very true. So, quickly, before we go to another break, basketball last night, heck of a game in Rupp Arena. LSU 73, Kentucky 71 in that one. And
did you see the end of it?
I read about it. I did not see it.
Yeah, I can't decide if I think it was goaltending or not. He definitely got it off in time, no question about that. At live, I thought it was goaltend. And then on a replay, I thought, nope, it's not goaltend. And then there was another angle that I went, ooh, maybe goaltend. And I couldn't decide.
They reviewed it. Can you review goaltending? I don't know.
Yeah, they reviewed it. And you know those officials are standing there in Lexington, Kentucky, Rupp Arena, with John Calipari making an ass of himself 10 feet away, thinking to themselves, please, please, please let this thing go to overtime. Please. And yet, I think they made the right call. I kind of do. And, man, that place was like kind of rough there for a few seconds. I guess everybody got out okay. Big win for LSU, though. They were down like 8 points and in trouble, and they can't. I'm telling you, man, I've said this since Ole Miss played them. If I'm in that NCAA tournament field, I do not want to see them in my little quartet. I don't want to see them.
They have every factor that you look for in a team in March.
They got all you need, man. They got now they're I'm not convinced that's the best coach team in the world. And I'm not convinced that they can't get knocked off. But if you told me LSU went to the Final Four, I'm not even blinking. I'm not even remotely surprised, Jason.
Now, like you said, the point is somebody's going to get them on their bracket and they don't want it. They're going to look up and go, ooh, ooh.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get teams like LSU, Iowa State, teams that could get bounced in the round of 32 could also go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
That damn Reed down low.
Nas Reed.
Damn. He's a monster.
Yeah. Then you got Tremont Waters outside.
Yeah. And he just makes plays. And then they got Skylar Mays made a play last night. And guys just, they got dudes.
Well, they got 12 and 6 from Emmett Williams last night.
They play really hard too. And I know what people say, Wade's not a good coach. Wade's this, Wade's that. I don't think he's the best X and O coach in the world. I'll give this team credit. They play really hard.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side, did you see the other SEC game?
Yeah, I'm going to get to those in 1 second. We do that, I'll tell you about the blowdrybar@gmail.com, blowdrybar, Oxford, Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 3. Give them a call, 662-638-3310. When you give them a call, get a gift certificate because you're going to save some money. You mentioned rebelgrove.com. You mentioned the podcast. They'll knock some of that off on their very, very popular blowout for the lady in your life. So if you're coming to town this weekend, maybe put it around the baseball game, the basketball game. Head on over Jackson Avenue again. The best new business in Oxford for 2018. It is blowdrybaroxford.com.
It was well done. The podcast Also brought to you in part by the Westin Jackson. As Chase mentioned at the beginning of the show, my mailbag is up. There's a lot of stuff in the mailbag. It's brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Go to the Westin Jackson and restore serenity to your soul. Visit Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson, and then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Sip on a creative craft cocktail.
I get through what I get through, and you screw up cocktail. Thanks.
Or enjoy their curated wine list. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. Yeah, that's going to be multiple message board threads. The podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners. It allows him to supply clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. What you do is you call him and you say, hey, I want to go to Pebble Beach. I want to go to Napa. I want to go to Scotland, Ireland. I want to take the family to 30A. I want to go on a cruise, whatever it may be. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. And then take the rest of the day off. Go do your job. John will do his, and he'll come up with options that you would not come up with on your own. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Go in and tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan.
Podcast also brought to you by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773 for a free quote. You can also send them an email at info@gomastercuts.com. It's time now to get those contracts signed for 2019. Take care of all the basic yard work as well as much, much more. They're coming to do some stuff in my flower beds on Monday. Send me an email. Gave me a time. Said when they'd be there. Way ahead of schedule for you to plan and prepare for that visit. Again, mastercutslawn.com, 662-607-7773. Yeah, a couple more blowouts in the SEC last night to go along with LSU and Kentucky. Texas A&M just continuing what has become a nightmare on the court for Georgia, although the commitment the other day probably has the fans feeling pretty good no matter what the score is. 73-56 at Reed Arena last night for Texas A&M. A&M now 3-8 in the SEC, 10-13. They're bad, but they did beat Georgia by almost 20. And then, let's see, Mississippi State 81-62 in Starkville over Alabama. That was kind of a free shot for Alabama. They did not get. State had to have it. And I missed this game. I did not even realize this happened. Missouri 79, Arkansas 78 to kind of knock the Hogs back after they've been pretty hot lately. So I guess big win for Missouri, but more than anything, that was a devastating loss for Mike Anderson.
Devastating loss for Mike Anderson. And on the final possession, Arkansas had a chance to win. And not sure exactly what it was that they drew up or what the hell they were trying to do, but it was a remarkably bad possession.
They didn't just give Gafford the ball and let him do something with it?
No, they just screwed it up. And it's going to – I would –
when you have when you have a first-round NBA pick, you probably should give him the ball when the rest of your team sucks.
Yeah, you got to use him. Steele's getting interesting, man, because Arkansas, they're done now. I mean, people say, what's their path to the NCAA tournament? That's easy. Win four games in 4 days or maybe five games in 5 days in Nashville. That's their path. It's pretty easy to write that story, which means that the media there, and they're the only show in town, the media there is going to start the does Mike Anderson need to go conversation. And it ought to be a better job than he's doing.
Yeah, now look, I had this on the radio show with them whenever that was. I forget who the guy's name was. But they're not Kentucky. They're not even the ceiling of Tennessee or Florida. But they shouldn't be this either. They should be in that next group, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
The only issue, I mean, but they have to recruit regionally and nationally for the most part. I mean, Arkansas is not going to supply your entire roster for you.
No, you've got to recruit regionally.
And Bud Walton's no longer this mecca for college basketball.
No, it's not. It's nice, but other schools have built nice. Yeah, it's a weird deal, isn't it? I kind of cheer for Mike Anderson a little bit, in large part because Scotty Thurman's on his staff, and Scotty's a friend, and I don't want anything bad to happen to Scotty. But yeah, this team was supposed to be better than this. I don't know that it was supposed to be a lot better than this, but it was supposed to be better than this. Here's the thing, and two, to make it more Ole Miss centric for a minute. So what's scary about what's left on Ole Miss's schedule is when you go to Arkansas, are you going to get desperate, angry, hungry Arkansas? Or are you going to get, we don't give a damn, there's 10,000 people here, make it end, Arkansas? And I don't know. Are you going to get proud, senior night, we're going to fight you, Missouri? Or are you going to get, we've had our run. We're going to Nashville on Wednesday, get this thing over with, Missouri. And I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that if you made me guess, I'd guess that the Arkansas game is going to be an easier, quote, easier, end quote, win than the Missouri game.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Arkansas could quit. Like Georgia coming here in a couple of weeks, they're going to quit. They're going to roll over. If you told me Ole Miss won that game by 25 points, I'd buy it.
Okay.
And then who knows about South Carolina, right? I mean, you got to go over there, I think, on Tuesday in 6 days. I don't know what you're going to get there. They've played really well there. They're 7-3 in the freaking league. Yet they're 12-11 overall or whatever.
Yeah, they haven't quit in the league. So now they're going to get hammered tonight, looking at tonight's games. Ole Miss at Auburn, the Rebels 16-7, the Tigers 16-7, the Rebels 6-4 in the SEC, Auburn 5-5 in the SEC. That line is the Tigers by 8.5 with an over-under total of 156. So they're guessing 80-75 somewhere in there in this one.
Ooh, I like both of the unders.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like Ole Miss and the under?
For some reason, I think Ole Miss covers that line. I do. If you made me pick the game, I'd pick Auburn, obviously. They don't lose at home. But this Ole Miss team's only been blown out once.
I'm going to come back to Ole Miss in 1 second. Quickly, South Carolina's at Tennessee tonight. Tennessee all the way up to an 18-point favorite at home against the Gamecocks. And then Florida at home against Vanderbilt. To say that's a necessity for the Gators would be underselling that one. So, just throwing that out there. I had a stat here. Let me find it. Coming from Corey Keyes on Twitter this morning. Factors into Ole Miss a little bit since they're on the road tonight. Crazy stat, and obviously Ole Miss has contributed to this because they've been a good team on the road. Said, it's been an odd season for the SEC, but this makes it even more weird. Just 40 of the 74 league games so far have been won by the home team. That ranks the SEC 30th out of 32 Division I basketball conferences in home competitive advantage, meaning home teams so far are just 40-34 in SEC play.
Yeah, they've been a lot. You and I talked about this, I think, off the air or off the podcast air. We don't even have air. We're not as big as Bo Bounds. We don't have our air.
Means we don't have to pay for air, though.
That's true. We don't have to buy our air.
Yeah.
Has Ole Miss been better on the road than it's been at home? Been a better basketball?
Well, I mean, what's its signature home game? Let's do it that way. Arkansas?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Arkansas.
Instead, they go on the road and they beat.
Oh, no. They beat Auburn at home. That was
never mind. That's it. Sorry.
Yeah, everybody yelling on the air.
Sorry.
We heard you. But yeah, on the road, they've played really well. Like, they played Butler well. They beat Baylor on
neutral site, but fine, whatever. Beat State.
Beat State in Starkville, which most teams don't do. Played really well at Florida and should have won the game.
And then I get Georgia sucks, but they routed them in Athens.
Yeah, but they played really well. They went in there and broke Georgia's back. I assure you, Georgia had that game circled as a get well game.
Yeah.
They didn't play well in Tuscaloosa, but that's really been their only road hiccup. They've been good on the road. And to Kermit Davis's credit, he has said this enough times where it's not coach speak. He walked in day one with an emphasis on we've got to become a tougher team so that we're built to win on the road in this league. And by God, they've done it. Now, they've stumbled at home some. State beat them at home. Iowa State popped them at home.
LSU beat them pretty good at home.
Yeah, and they didn't play well against Texas A&M at home at all. Won the game, but didn't play well for 34 minutes. So I don't know. I think this team's a little better on the road than it's been at home. I don't know. Maybe they're just kind of such a thin margin for error group that it is what it is. I don't know. I'm overthinking it.
I get this as more of a conversation for Friday, but I'm intrigued looking ahead by Saturday's SEC basketball slate. I just happened to click on this a second ago, and you've got maybe the marquee game of the year on Saturday in the league, and then you also have so many of these teams that are bubblish to end, to at least in the conversation, playing teams that they've got to beat on Saturday. You got to feel like it's a little bit of a, hey, if you slip up, it's a really big day on your schedule. Just looking at this real quick, Missouri's at Ole Miss. Obviously, Ole Miss has to win that basketball game.
Well, if you're before you even continue, I'll say it's going to be one of those. There's a lot of people that believe in the conspiracy theory as it pertains to SEC officiating. If you believe in it, Saturday will be a day around the league where, yeah, some eyebrows.
Yeah, you can kind of watch games that are sort of intriguing from, hey, you better hold serve. So you've got Missouri at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is going to be way well favored.
League really wants Ole Miss to win that game.
Yeah. Auburn's at Vanderbilt on Saturday.
The league desperately needs Auburn to win that game.
Now, this is probably meaningless, but still the home team needs to win. A&M's at South Carolina on Saturday.
Yeah, probably meaningless, but the only one of those two teams that has even a chance in hell is the Gamecocks.
Two teams desperately needing this game, Florida at Alabama on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Florida's in trouble, man. I'm telling you, their schedule's just not friendly. Now, their net rating is okay and stuff, but they're I don't know.
They're going to wreck them, but as you mentioned, teams sometimes getting spunky for some reason. LSU's at Georgia on Saturday.
There's no chance.
Mississippi State's in Fayetteville on Saturday.
Need State to win.
Yeah, need State to win that one. And then at 7 o'clock on ESPN, you get Tennessee and Rupp Arena on Saturday.
That lost a little of its luster last night.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Did you see the Louisville collapse last night?
I did not see it. I heard about it.
Louisville up 23 on Duke in the second half and loses. 23.
Yeah, we were watching we did not watch The Bachelor on Monday night. We DVR'd it, so we watched it last night. It was very dramatic.
You're serious?
Yeah.
Okay. When are we getting Jeffrey's girl on?
I don't know. We got to do it because we're finally...
You're running out of time.
Well, no, we're officially at the point that we need to do it because
we're in drama season now.
We are. We're
the
there
preliminaries
now.
Are over.
We have pretty much cut the wheat from the chaff. We have pretty much. The cream has risen to the top.
Okay.
We're down to, I think it's like six or seven, and there's probably four legitimate contenders in the mix, and they're all there, and I think they all have begun to realize that we are the ones that are headed for the Final Four. We are the ones that are headed for the fantasy suites. The pressure is about to be on. I think that's where this is headed. So now would be the time probably to get Aaliyah on the program so we could break this down.
You did not warn me, by the way, or anyone else for the oven mitts that are necessary in one of your questions. Did you say on the mailbag this morning, speaking of basketball, speaking of Duke, that Zion Williamson is already better than Sean Kemp?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, Sean Kemp was never as good as Zion Williamson is right now.
Okay, so, I mean, I was relatively young. Is he just overrated? Because, I mean, I remember Sean Kemp was a pretty big deal.
No, Kemp was a great player. Williamson's a great player.
I mean, you said his floor is Larry Johnson or Blake Griffin.
Yeah, that's his floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's Charles Barkley.
Okay.
I'm not going to do LeBron to anybody. That's not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make a legitimate argument that LeBron James is the greatest player to ever play the game. I'm not doing that to any kid. But I think you could do the Barkley thing. And everybody does Barkley, and they remember the fat Barkley. They don't remember Barkley in his prime when dude was, as I wrote, if Michael Jordan had not existed, I mean, you know, I'm glad that he did, but had Michael Jordan not existed, there was a time there, a little 2 or 3 year span, where you could make the argument that Charles Barkley was the greatest basketball player on earth. I'm not saying that it would be.
Let me ask it this way. Who benefits the most from Michael Jordan never existing?
Ooh, well, Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Patrick Ewing,
Karl Malone and John Stockton would have won a couple of titles.
Kemp and Peyton would have won a title.
Yeah, they probably would have won a title. Clyde Drexler would have gotten another title.
Okay.
But Ewing, Olajuwon?
Barkley,
yeah, Barkley for sure.
Yeah, because Jordan had no impact on any of the guys from, like, the 80s. He didn't affect Isaiah or Larry or Magic or any of them.
Yeah, I mean, you never know where we're going with this little podcast. If you remember back in the day, and you probably vaguely do, the Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, Dan Majerle, Phoenix Suns,
mm-hmm.
They would have won a title. Damn near won a title anyway. They scared the hell out of the Bulls that year.
In the finals?
Yeah.
Because they were in the West.
Yeah. They were really good. Now, it was Barkley when Barkley was just unstoppable. And Dan Majerle was very good, and Kevin Johnson was an elite point guard. It's a good team.
Hmm. Okay. Just curious. Just kind of came to me. I was wondering. Got another interesting hypothetical that I was given to do on the podcast. We're going to do that after the break, so don't leave us. Hang around, because I think people will be sort of somewhat interested in this. We're going to talk Jerry and Ely in a second. Before we do that, we'll tell you that go to Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com/events. See everything going on in town this week, including even continuing today and tomorrow, the annual Francis McEwen Library Show, 10 to 8 at the Oxford Public Library. You've got a lot of Valentine's Day activities tomorrow night, including Bryn McLean on Thacker Mountain Radio at 6 p.m. and Off Square Books. You got Valentine's Day dining, dancing, and silent auction at 6 at the Chancellor's House, Young the Giants at the Lyric, and much more, including basketball and baseball. And plenty of stuff going on this weekend in Oxford. The double-decker bus tours also return during baseball season. Those are on Friday afternoon. And you can see all that, the contact information, and all the different ways to enjoy Oxford at visitoxfordms.com.
And while you're in Oxford, the Ole Miss women's tennis team back at home today as they take on Alcorn State, 1 p.m. Come hungry. Fans will receive free pizza. As always, admission is free, so you get free tennis and free pizza. For more information, visit olemisssports.com. The Ole Miss women's hoops team back in the pavilion Thursday, February the 14th for a matchup with the MSU Bulldogs. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. For tickets, visit olemisstix.com. The Ole Miss baseball season has arrived, as Chase has mentioned. Join the Rebels at Swayze Field on Friday, February the 15th. They host Wright State at 4 p.m. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. And the Ole Miss men's basketball team returns to the pavilion on Saturday, February the 16th, as they take on Missouri at 2:30 p.m. Limited tickets remain and can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. You ought to call and also ask about the commercial checking account. It's paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more about that, contact OUB at liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. You know them for their MedSync, their home or workplace delivery, and much more. And they make it easy to switch those medications over. If you're a Fred's or Walgreens customer, go to a local pharmacy that cares about you. You can do that by just giving them a call at 662-236-2222, and they take care of the rest. They've got plenty of compound options now. We've been telling you about those, from Finnergan and nausea and vomiting to acne, eczema, and other skin conditions. A lot of different ways that they kind of use their little chemistry to help you out there at G&M. So again, vote them Best of Oxford, oxfordeagle.com/Best of Oxford for pharmacies. And the number one more time, 662-236-2222. So I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody about Jerry and Ely, and you kind of referenced this in your mailbag as well. None of us know what he's going to do. We don't know what the number is going to be from a major league team when the time comes. And you mentioned it would be very hard to tell your son, hey, let's skip $4 million to play college football, or to do anything for that matter. And I asked the guy, I said, I completely understand that. I said, but what if you don't like baseball? You don't want to do the commitment. You don't like the game enough to make that level of commitment. And he turned it around on me, and he goes, here's your podcast topic. He said, because we were kind of discussing money before this and different stuff, and he goes, somebody offered that to you right now, knowing more than you did at 18, obviously, knowing how important this is, knowing what's available, and you get basically $1 million a year, because, you know, at minimum, 4 or 5 year contract, million a year ish for whatever we're talking about with Jerry and Ely. Yeah. He goes, how many jobs would you not do? Because the list is too long on what you would do. What are the jobs you would not do for $1 million a year for 4 years? And I thought, I never really had it turned around on me like that, but that's a pretty dang good point. Not many.
Not many. I'd be willing to give most anything a shot.
I mean, other than something that's going to result in my death, you're pretty much doing whatever. I mean, I am not a manual laborist. A lot of manual labor you'll do for $1 million a year.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
On anything.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I wasn't going to get harmed.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, your health is insured.
Yeah. I mean, look, minor league baseball is not glamorous. And I don't know this kid. I've heard nothing but nice things about him, but I don't know him. I've never had a conversation with Jerry and Ely. I don't know him. I don't know the people around him. It's not a negative. I just don't know them. So I can't speak to where his heart is. And if your heart is in football, play football. But the people that act like it's a no-brainer to walk away from that kind of money, I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. It would not be a no-brainer. And that's why when people say, you know, I think he's going to play, my response is, look, like I said in the mailbag, it takes one team. One team looks at him and falls in love and goes, I don't know, we think that's the next Kirby Puckett. We think that's a guy that hits at the top of our lineup for 15 seasons. Only takes one team. And if they do, and they offer him, you know, $5.2 million or whatever, and then you start having those conversations, and they say, hey, and Jerry, and if college, I mean, if this doesn't work out, we'll pay for your college. We'll lock in right now to pay for for 4 years of college at any school in your home state. You pick it. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, whatever. We'll pay for it. And then someone says, and hey, if baseball doesn't work out, you can still go play college football. You can't play college baseball, but you can play college football. When the other side of that is, nope, going to go play football. Going to play football, going to play baseball, going to put this pro baseball thing on the back burner for at least 3 years. I don't know, man. I can't. I get it. I mean, I saw Brian Jordan and Deion Sanders and some of those two-way stars asked about Kyler Murray, and the consensus is he's making a mistake. From people who have lived that life, he's making a mistake. And I'm both ways on this because logically, yes, he's making a mistake. Logically, there's no question he's making a mistake. Except two things. Well, his heart's telling him to play football. That's what he loves. Follow your heart. You give one life. You're the one that has to get up each day and do it. If that's what you want to do, do it. And then I'm starting to think, and we're jumping around a little bit here. I don't want to get away from it too much. Maybe this Kingsbury rumor is true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just think the whole thing is as interesting as anything based off just kind of the human dynamic of what do you want to do? Where are you going with it? What's the plan? I don't know.
Because, I mean, let's play worst case scenario. And I'm a big believer in best case, worst case.
Yeah, you are.
Best case for Jerry Neely is if he wants to play football. This is if he wants to play football. Is if he wants to play baseball, you go play baseball. Easy. You tell baseball teams, I want to play baseball. If you draft me, yes, I'll sign. I want the max slot, but yes, I'll sign. And I've got football that I can go back to if you try to screw with me. But you get taken eighth in the draft and they say, we'll give you 5.4 and you say done. So that's if he wants to play baseball. But if he wants to play football, best case, go to Ole Miss and you dominate in the SEC and in 3 years, you're a top 10 pick. And you've had these running backs, whether it be Leonard Fournette or Saquon Barkley or whoever it may
be. Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley proved that yes, you can play Power Five college football and come out and be a top 10 pick and make a boatload of money. That's best case. What's worst case? Well, worst case is obviously you go to Ole Miss and you suffer a Ken Webster sort of knee injury. And you're not the athlete that you once were. And you go from having a professional career to not having a professional career. And if you think you can live with that, okay. But if you think you can't, you've got to start thinking about how would I feel if it were taken away from me and there's nothing I can do because there's no other job that he can go get right out of college $1 million plus a year. If there is, someone please call me because I have a high schooler and I need to send her into that field.
Little journalism plug here for The Athletic, which obviously does not advertise with us, but I stumbled across this a second ago. It came out this morning. Story from Dana O'Neill. The headline is, "It just means more, parentheses, now, how the SEC built itself into a great basketball league." The top picture is Devontae Shuler and Blake Henson. There's some Ole Miss stuff in here. Leads with Mike Trangese and his history with the Big East, building that into the best basketball conference in the country, and then the SEC hiring him to help fix their issues. And his first quote is, "I told them to cut the crap, stop complaining, and stop pointing fingers or stop whining." And I'll let you go. I'll let you read the story at The Athletic. I have no idea if it's behind a paywall or not, although it probably is. And then it closes here, just to kind of give you the full scope of it. "The catch-22 is now that the league is so much better, winning is that much harder. Not too long ago, Trangese caught up with Ben Howlin on the phone. 'Michael, it's great,' Howlin told Trangese. 'This is how it's supposed to be.' At the time, Howlin's Bulldogs were riding high, ranked 14th in the nation, 12-2 overall. That afternoon, after they spoke, Ole Miss rolled into Starkville and upset Mississippi State. Recalling the conversation, Trangese chuckled, quote, 'Careful what you wish for. They've created a monster.'" So that at The Athletic this morning.
Yeah, it's something we've talked about on this podcast some. Give the league credit because the league was fast becoming – I don't want to turn this into an Andy Kennedy thing. I really don't. I don't want to do that because it just it comes across wrong. It gets misrepresented. It creates problems. But Andy had a couple of teams that if the league had had a better reputation and if the league had had more teams that were committed to basketball, he had a couple of teams that would have made the tournament that they didn't because the league only got what, 4 bids? This league's going to get 6 to 8 bids depending on what happens with teams like Ole Miss and Alabama and Florida and Auburn and Mississippi State, this league could get 8 bids.
Switch to reputation in about 2 years.
Yeah. Play a schedule. That's what they told them. Play a schedule. And what did it was this SEC Network. Give it credit. They were smart enough to say, yes, football's king. Absolutely, football's king. But there's a catch with football. It's only in the fall, and it's once a week. Teams play one game a week. One game. And so, when the season's over in November, late November, right around Thanksgiving, the season ends. And what carries you until then? What carries you until the next September? You had to have content, and it needed to be quality content. And so the statement was, I mean, the directive was given, you're going to commit yourself to basketball, everybody. It's not an option. You're going to get committed to basketball. Yeah. It's why when some of the people say, you know, we don't hear this anymore, but people used to say, why would Ole Miss build the pavilion? Why throw that money into basketball? Well, I mean, listen, being stubborn about Tad Smith Coliseum was going to come back to haunt Ole Miss had it done it. And we'll never have to see just what would have happened, but it would have haunted them, I'm just telling you. And give the league credit. Give Mike Sov credit. He knew that to make that network work, you had to have quality programming. And now they put – tonight, they'll at 5:30 Central Time, there will be a basketball game followed by another basketball game followed by a post-game wrap-up, kind of a studio thingy. So they will have SEC, quality SEC programming from 5:30 Central until 10:30 Central tonight.
Yeah. One more thing, just if you are an Athletic subscriber, I just stumbled across it. Bruce Feldman last night with a story on DK Metcalf as well. So there's a little bit of reading material for you to go with the coverage we have at RebelGrove.com. Again, a feature on Dominic Olenicek and his mother. Good one there. Mailbag, baseball notes, basketball notes, and still all of our coverage from Cleveland with Ross and that podcast yesterday. So a lot of stuff at RebelGrove.com. Check it out, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.